No Rest by Edge of Clairvoyance. Rating is teen and up audiences. Archive warning, major character death. Category, Jen. Fandom, supernatural. Relationships, Dean Winchester and Sam Winchester. Bobby Singer and Sam Winchester. Characters, Sam Winchester, Bobby Singer. Additional tags. Post-episode, Season 3, Episode 16, No Rest for the Wicked. Episode tag, Season 3 finale, Brotherly Love, Grief/Mourning, Grieving Sam Winchester, Dead Dean Winchester, Heavy Angst, Angst and Feels. Summary. Episode tag to Season 3, Episode 16, No Rest for the Wicked. Kneeling on the floor in a pool of blood, cradling Dean's lifeless body, Sam eventually stopped crying. Notes. I've been wanting to write this for a long time, more so after the series finale. But it seemed like I wasn't quite able to understand Sam's grief until after my father passed away unexpectedly in January. Rest in peace, Dad. I love you. The story takes place just after the end of the Season 3 finale, No Rest for the Wicked, Season 3, Episode 16. If you've just started watching the show and you haven't reached that episode yet, welcome to the most awesome fandom out there. Please turn back now if you don't want any spoilers. Thanks so much to Tosca Rossetti for the beta and to Script Doctor for the suggestions, and to both of them for their continuous support. Sam eventually stopped crying. He wasn't cried out, not emotionally, anyway, but his body was. His tears, as well as his voice, seemed to have dried up. He remained kneeling on the floor in a pool of blood, cradling Dean's still body. His chest was hot and tight, and his gut felt empty inside, as if a black hole had opened up within him and sucked out every single organ. He rocked a little, and the light reflecting off Dean's eyes made it look like they were moving ever so slightly. Except Sam knew they weren't. The pupils were fixed, not reacting to the light, and the corneas were starting to glaze over. He should have closed Dean's eyes, but he didn't want to. Not yet. He wanted to imagine his brother looking at him just for a few minutes more. He could hear noises around him, vaguely, as if they were coming from behind some wall. Maybe the other demons in town didn't run when Lilith had expelled herself from Ruby's meat suit. Maybe they were coming for him now. He didn't really care. What was there to care about more than Dean being gone? A hand rested on his shoulder. Sam didn't bother looking up.
Sam, we need to get going, son.
Sam shook his head. Let him stay here with Dean. He had nowhere to go, anyway.
Come on, Sam. We have to go. Let's get you up.
The warm hand moved to the side of his face, forcing his head up. He looked into Bobby's tear-shiny eyes.
We can't stay. The demons are gone, but they might be back. Or the cops will. Let's get him to the car.
Somehow, Sam was able to shift Dean enough to allow Bobby to remove the Impala's keys from Dean's pocket and to work a sheet, probably retrieved from the Fremont's linen closet, around the body. Having the horrible wounds in Dean's chest out of sight was good, but as Bobby moved to cover Dean's face, Sam pushed his hand away.
No,
he said. Bobby looked at him for a moment, then nodded.
Okay,
he said.
Okay.
Sam looked down at his brother and used the hem of the sheet to wipe the droplets of blood away from Dean's face. Then he closed Dean's eyelids, touching them as gently as he could. He knew Dean didn't feel it, but he wasn't able to bring himself to handle him like some inanimate object. Bobby helped him get to his feet. He had to lay Dean down on the floor for a minute, but as soon as he was standing up, he squatted back down and scooped Dean's wrapped body in his arms in a bridal carry, hugging him to his chest. His brother weighed 175 pounds, maybe 180, and he was even heavier now. Dead weight. But Sam didn't want Bobby to help him carry Dean. It was his brother. His load. His fault. Bobby went ahead to get the Impala into the Fremont's driveway so Sam wouldn't have to walk as far, and maybe to avoid being seen if there was anybody watching them. He opened the trunk and looked at Sam. Sam hugged Dean's body closer.
I'm not putting him in there.
I don't like it either,
Bobby said, his tone gentle.
But you need to think about what could happen if we're pulled over, and he's there in the back seat.
Sam looked down at Dean. His brother's face was waxy, the lips and eyelids bluish. The sheet over his chest was stained with blood that seeped through the cotton. He looked up at Bobby.
No,
he said. Bobby's face crumpled up a little in compassion, maybe acknowledging Sam's pain, maybe thinking he was losing his marbles, and he nodded.
Okay. We'll just have to make sure we don't attract any attention.
He opened the back door and Sam laid Dean on the back bench. It was trickier than he imagined, but Bobby went around the car to the opposite door to help him get the body inside the car. As Sam went to the driver's side, Bobby was also there, reaching for the door handle.
Let me drive so you can get some rest,
he said.
I don't need to rest. I'll drive,
Sam replied.
You don't have to.
Sam pulled the driver's door open, maybe with a little bit more force than needed.
I said I'll drive. Dean doesn't let anybody drive his car but me.
From the corner of his eye, Sam could see Bobby's mouth twitch under his mustache. He was probably holding back from saying that Dean had bigger concerns at the moment than who was driving his baby. But he said nothing, and when Sam held his hand out for the keys, Bobby passed them over. Sam watched Bobby walk around the car and realized the older Hunter was about to get into the passenger seat. And indeed, Bobby opened the door and was about to slide in when Sam said,
Bobby, no offense, but I need to be alone right now. I'm sorry.
Bobby looked at him for a minute before saying,
okay, I get it. I'll be behind you in my car.
Sam let out a breath as Bobby closed the door and disappeared from sight. As much as he loved the man, he just couldn't spend an entire drive talking to him, accepting his condolences, maybe giving some himself. No. He needed to be by himself, with Dean. Sam turned the engine on and revved it up. The Impala purred like it always did, as if it didn't know that it wasn't its usual driver behind the wheel, that its driver, its caretaker, would never sit behind the wheel again.
Of course it doesn't know. It's just a car. Stop it.
Sam rolled down the driveway and into the street. He saw Bobby's junker approaching, but didn't slow down. He had had enough of New Harmony, Indiana. He couldn't wait to get away. He drove through the streets, out of town, and onto the interstate heading west, and kept going. He could see Bobby's headlights in the rearview mirror, following. He tried not to look too often or too long in the mirror, because then he caught glimpses of his brother's still form in the back seat. But there was nothing else to look at, just a dark road partly illuminated by the Impala's headlights. How many hours did he and Dean spend like this, driving into the night, music spilling through the speakers, usually Dean's choice of music?
House rules, Sammy.
But sometimes, Sam got to play whatever he wanted. Actually, more often than just sometimes. Just like they had gotten his favorite food more often than not when they were kids, or had watched the TV shows he wanted to watch.
Because you always took care of me, didn't you?
Sam said. He glanced at the mirror. Dean was still there, silent,
and motionless. Because you always put me first. And this was why Dean's body was in the back seat and his soul was in hell. Because he just had to put Sam first, again. He just couldn't let Sam stay dead. The dark road ahead blurred as tears started welling in Sam's eyes. He blinked and wiped his forearm over his face. He shouldn't have been here, driving his big brother's body in his big brother's car. He should have been dead a year now, and Dean should have been behind the wheel on his way to work the next case, or get drunk, or get laid. Except he knew damn well that Dean wouldn't have been able to do it with Sam dead and buried. Well, the drinking part, yes, but Sam doubted Dean could have carried on with his life without Sam. He had done that during the 4 years Sam was in Stanford, yes, but Sam hadn't really been gone. He had existed somewhere in the world, under the same sun, the same moon. Dean wasn't under the same moon anymore. Sam was crying again. He didn't have any specific destination in mind, so he just drove on. Sometime later, maybe half an hour, maybe an hour and a half, Sam had no real sensation of time. Bobby flashed his headlights behind him. Sam pulled over to the shoulder and rolled down his window. "How about we get off the road and into the hills?" Bobby said as he came to the driver's side door. "We can lame to rest here." Sam looked at the dark trees that surrounded them. They were far away from everything, from everyone. He just barely managed to stop himself from looking at the back seat. "No, I want to go further."
"Sam, we're far enough from every town around. Nobody is going to disturb."
Sam stepped down on the gas pedal, making the Impala roar.
"I said, not here."
Bobby let out a sigh.
"Okay, we'll go a little further."
This time he sounded less like he was acknowledging Sam's pain and more like he thought he was losing his marbles. Sam didn't care. He turned the Impala back onto the road. He really had no idea where he was going. Bobby had a point. They were already far away from everything, from everyone. And what did it matter where they were going to build Dean's pyre? In an hour's time, there would be nothing left of it, of Dean. Except it wasn't true. Dean's soul would stay, down in the pit, where every demon Dean had ever posed a threat to would be lining up to get a piece of his ass. Sam's fingers curled tighter around the steering wheel. At some point, Sam turned north. He still wasn't sure where he was headed. Did it really matter? Wherever he went, Dean wasn't going to be there. The thought hit hard, as if for the first time. Dean was gone. He was really gone. And Sam couldn't breathe. The darkness around him seemed to press down on him, to smother him. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't. He needed Dean, needed his big brother. Needed to see his lopsided grin and to hear him say,
"It's gonna be okay, Sammy. I'll look out for you. You know I always do."
He was so tired of crying. It must have been a couple of hours later when Sam had finally had enough of driving. He didn't feel like he arrived at some special spot or anything of the sort. He was just done. He couldn't run away from the truth of Dean's death anymore. Sam passed a sign stating he was heading for the fine, upstanding community of Pontiac, Illinois, and got off the paved road onto a wide dirt trail leading into the woods. He didn't have to check to know Bobby was following. The junker's headlights flashed in the rearview mirror as the car bounced over the uneven ground. The woods around him weren't thick, even though the darkness made it hard to be sure. He drove a little farther, then stopped. Maybe because the trees were thinner here. Maybe because it didn't really matter at what exact spot he would say goodbye to his brother. Bobby came to his window, and Sam rolled it down.
"Wanna do it here?"
Bobby asked. Sam shrugged. Bobby put his hands at the small of his back and stretched a little as he looked around.
"I think I see a place over there. Let's go check it out."
Sam followed him a little way in between the trees. It was a tiny clearing with young, thin trees surrounding it. Bobby made a full circle around himself as he examined the perimeter.
"We'll need to clear some brush," he said, "and maybe cut some of the trees so they wouldn't catch fire. We can use them for the pyre."
"No," Sam said. He was speaking quietly enough, but Bobby still heard him.
"What?"
Sam stared into the dark woods. "We're not burning him." Bobby came closer to him.
"Sam, what?"
"No pyre. We're not burning him."
"Son, I know it's hard."
Bobby's voice was compassionate, but tense.
"I loved him too. But this needs to be done. If we don't salt and burn the body, Dean might..."
"Might what, Bobby?" Sam turned his head to glare at him. "Might come back as a vengeful spirit? Ever heard about any of those that came back from hell? Huh?" Bobby eyed him silently. "Because that's where he is. In hell. Because he wanted to save me. He doesn't deserve it, Bobby. He doesn't..." Sam could feel his voice breaking and halted to take a breath. The cold air seared the insides of his windpipe as he breathed in. Bobby's warm, heavy hand settled on his shoulder.
"He doesn't deserve it," Bobby said, "but he chose it. I thought he was a damn idiot for doing it, but it was his decision."
Sam looked at the trees, at the ground, at the patch of starry sky he could see through the branches. The wind swept his hair away from his forehead, and then swept it the other way. He looked back at Bobby.
"We're not burning him," he said. "He'll need a body when I get him back."
Bobby's eyes widened.
"Sam, you can't mean..."
Sam turned fully toward Bobby, shaking the older man's hand off his shoulder.
"I'll need a box."
"A box? A coffin? To bury him in." Sam started walking back to the car. Bobby hurried to catch up. Sam retrieved the keys from the ignition and opened the trunk.
"You need to listen to me,"
Bobby said.
"There's no way to bring back a soul from hell. I've researched it."
Sam lifted the fake bottom, propped it up with a sawed-off, and started rummaging through the gear.
"Lilith wanted him down there bad. That's why they gave him 1 year instead of 10. Even if you find some spell powerful enough to pull him out and unharmed, every single demon is going to be on your ass."
Sam found the shovels, grabbed them, and slammed the lid shut. He faced Bobby.
"You going to get me that box, or what?"
Bobby stared at him for a moment, then sighed, his face old and tired.
"I'll see what I can do."
Sam didn't bother saying goodbye, just walked back in between the trees while Bobby went to his car, started it, and drove away in a cloud of exhaust smoke. Sam put one shovel aside, looked over the ground, and picked a spot to start digging. His dad hadn't been Father of the Year. Hell, he just hadn't been most of the time. Dean had. And now Dean was gone. The black hole inside of Sam's gut was so fierce, so consuming, that there was nothing left but pain. The ground in front of him became blurred with his tears, and Sam stopped to wipe them away and carried on. Absent or not, Dad had taught him some useful things, like digging a grave. Dean and he had spent countless hours working the shovels as Dad stood there watching them, driving them on with a stern command every time he thought they were slacking. Sam had hated it at the time, but John Winchester's training hadn't been in vain. The rectangular hole Sam was digging became deeper and deeper as the sun started to come up. Sam didn't look at his watch as he worked. There was no point. But by the time the grave looked ready, the sun was already high over the trees, washing him in its golden light. Bobby hadn't returned yet. Sam wasn't holding his breath. The longer Bobby would lag, the better. He drove the blade of the shovel into the pile of freshly dug earth beside the grave and turned to look at the impala. the car Dean loved so much while he was alive, and was now serving him one last time as his hearse.
It's going to be serving him again, because I'm going to get him back.
A faint roar from up the road made Sam look in that direction. A truck was coming his way, bouncing over the potholes. It parked, and Bobby climbed out.
Got you a box,
Bobby said as he came closer.
Wasn't too easy. Had to wake up some people and call in some favors and borrow the truck to get it out here. It ain't fancy, no velvet lining or nothing, but it's pine and it's sturdy.
So he can be sure Dean stays inside. But Sam just said, thank you. Bobby surveyed the rectangular hole Sam had sweated in for the past few hours. He stood quietly for several minutes and then let out air, his shoulders slumping, and rubbed his hand over his face before turning to walk back to the truck. They pulled the pine box from the back and carried it to the grave. Sam wasn't sure how they were going to do this. He had buried his share of monster remains, but it usually didn't involve a box. There might have been ropes in the Impala's trunk to lower the box, the coffin, into the grave, but surely that would require more than two men.
I think we can put the box inside the hole first, Bobby said. It'll be easier this way.
Sam was surprised for a moment that he hadn't figured out this simple solution, but finding ways to stick his brother's body into the ground wasn't a problem he was used to dealing with. He went back to the Impala and opened the back door. Dean was on the back bench, skin ashen, still as a marble statue. If Sam could pretend Dean wasn't really dead while he drove during the night, the bright sunlight left no room for mistake. Sam had to brace a hand on the doorframe, because all of a sudden his head started to spin. And then Bobby was beside him, one hand on his shoulder, the other grabbing his forearm. The older hunter didn't talk, just squeezed, gently but firmly. And Sam closed his eyes and let out some air. Taking the body out of the car was even trickier than putting it in. Rigor mortis had fully settled in, and Sam felt like he was handling a man-sized wooden doll. Bobby helped him carry Dean over to the gravesite, and Sam stopped a few feet away from the gaping hole.
Can we put him down?
He said.
I need a minute.
Bobby nodded.
Of course.
He and Sam laid Dean's body on the ground, and Bobby moved away, turning his back on the brothers. Sam knelt by Dean's side. For a minute, he did nothing but watch Dean's face, the slightly parted lips, the long lashes resting against the white cheeks. Dean was alive, breathing, moving, talking, just hours ago. And now he was silent and still. And gone. It was something so impossible to wrap his head around that Sam felt like the black hole in his stomach had grown and grown and swallowed him whole from the inside out. Everything felt surreal, like the world was out of focus. He was vaguely aware he was crying again, crying as hard as he did back at the Fremont's place, with Dean's still warm body cradled on his lap. The reservoir of tears seemed to have been replenished. And Sam was using all of it now, mourning the only person in the world who had always been there for him, who had loved him unconditionally. Dean was his safe shore, the steady ground beneath his feet. And now Sam was suspended in the void. He had had times when he had felt lonely, but now he was completely and utterly alone, and the weight of it was crashing. He couldn't even pretend Dean was in a better place. This thought was even worse. Sam reached out a trembling hand and cupped the side of Dean's face. The skin was cold, not a shred of life left in it.
I'm not gonna leave you,
Sam told him.
I'm not gonna let them keep you down there. I don't care what it takes. I'm gonna get you back. You hear me?
It wasn't like he was expecting Dean to reply. Or maybe he was. Either way, Dean didn't, and Sam let his thumb caress his brother's cheek and then leaned down and kissed his forehead.
"I'm getting you back,"
he whispered. His hand moved to brace the back of Dean's head, lifting it a little so he could remove the amulet from around his neck. The little golden figurine was soiled with blood. Sam wiped it on the sheet and then slipped the cord over his own head and tucked the amulet under his shirt. Then he straightened up, took a few breaths, and got to his feet. Bobby was by the Impala as Sam turned around to look for him. He had been cleaning the bloodstains from the back bench, several stained rags strewn on the ground by his feet. Sam could have told him the stains had probably already set and it would take detergent and some decent scrubbing, but he would do it himself later, after he buried his brother. "Bobby." The man turned, and despite the distance and the shadow thrown by the tattered trucker's cap, Sam could notice the redness in his eyes. Bobby dropped the rag he was holding and came over to the grave. They placed the pine box in the hole. They had to dig around some more so the box could fit. Dad wouldn't have been happy with the quality of Sam's work. And then picked up Dean's body. Gently, very gently, they lowered the body into the coffin. It didn't make sense, Sam thought. They could have just dumped him in. It didn't matter to Dean one way or the other. But the same as with closing Dean's eyes, Sam couldn't bring himself to do something that might have hurt Dean, even if he was dead. Bobby seemed to be thinking along the same lines, because he also didn't just let Dean's legs drop from his grip, but laid them down carefully. Then he raised his eyes to Sam.
"Do you want to do it?"
he asked. Sam looked one last time at his big brother, rose from his crouch, and turned away. He stared at the trees while absently listening to the thud of the lid being placed on the coffin, and then to the blows of the hammer as Bobby nailed it shut. Only when he heard the unmistakable sounds of earth being shuffled onto the wooden box, he turned back, grabbed the other shovel, and got to work. Soon the box was covered in soil, then the hole filled all the way to the top. They fashioned a low mound over the grave, and Sam straightened up and glanced all around him.
"What are you looking for?"
Bobby asked. "Something to mark the grave with. Sticks or whatever."
"I think there's a couple in the truck. Hold on."
Bobby went to the truck and came back with two wooden planks. They were old with ragged and broken tips, and one of them looked like a piece of wide branch that hadn't been smoothed at all. But it wasn't like Sam intended to build Dean some kind of a mausoleum. He didn't even intend for him to stay here too long. Sam shook his head when Bobby asked if he wanted to carve Dean's name on the planks, and they made a crude cross and hammered it into the earth at the head of the grave. Sam panicked for a moment when he thought that they might have put it by Dean's feet.
"You just buried him, and you don't even remember which side his head is on?"
But Bobby didn't hesitate, and Sam followed his lead. They stood looking at the grave. It seemed so small. How did they even get Dean to fit in there? The feeling of surrealness washed over Sam again. The sun was too bright, the birds chirping too loudly, the scent of the grass too strong. Everything around them was so alive, but Dean wasn't. It made no sense. None. Bobby's hand rested on his shoulder again.
"Come back to South Dakota with me,"
he said.
"Stay for a while. For as long as you want."
Sam shook his head. "Thanks, Bobby. Really. But no. Not now." From the corner of his eye, Sam saw Bobby nodding.
"I get it. You're always welcome, though. You know that, don't you?"
Sam nodded. Bobby gave his shoulder a final squeeze and walked away. Sam heard the truck's engine being turned on, and then its drone drew farther and farther away until it was lost in the distance. Sam was alone. He kept staring at Dean's grave. Dean's grave. The word combination was alien. Dean couldn't be dead. He couldn't really be under this mound of earth, under the makeshift wooden cross. He should have been right here by Sam's side, smacking the back of his head with a cheery, "Bitch." But there was nothing but the breeze and the sunlight on the back of his head. Nothing but the calls of the birds in his ears. Sam touched the little lump of the amulet under his shirt. He let his hand drop away, closed his eyes, and took a breath. Then he picked up the shovels, went back to the Impala, tossed them into the trunk, and slammed the lid closed. He had work to do.